Amen. Amen. Thank you very much
for this opportunity. Before I bring the word of God, I could carry a few volumes of this, powerful book. And because you are leaders, I want every leader to pick a copy. It's a very interesting book, one of the best books I've read so far, by Reverend Mensah Otabel. And it talks about wisdom. A very, very, very powerful dimension of God that we play down. You know, when people spiritualize, they think that wisdom is not part of it. But if you go deep in the Bible, you serve a wisdom God. And when you get into the realm of wisdom, there's a lot that, you will know. It will help you transform. So I'll leave all the volumes here. You know, if we're a leader here, you could fetch a copy. And then I'll finish reading the book. And after I finish reading the book, I now have to study the book. There's a difference. When you read a book, you come to terms with some of the things that the book is saying. But when you study it, then you get approval. Study to show yourself approved. So you will never have divine approval unless you study. And that's the difference. Some people read the Bible, they don't study the Bible. So they don't have divine approval. And this is what I want you to see. But that would be very nice to bring you a kente cloth, you know, from back home. And people believe in that. So people are excited when you give them material things. I'm married to a woman, so I know what I'm talking about. If you give a woman a Louis Vuitton bag, oh my God, the one which is very expensive, maybe 7,000 pounds or something like that for just a handbag. Now somebody's gratuity when you finish working for the whole of your lifetime, this is how much they give you. You know? They're excited. Material things minister to people. But when you give them knowledge, sometimes they despise it. But I pray to God that don't despise knowledge. In fact, your poverty is a direct result that you hate knowledge. Our transformation is all about our knowledge base, what we know. So please, do not let these books gather dust. Because 1 year from now, whether you transform, that is, you change in form, will be a factor of your wisdom or your knowledge. So these are the few presents I brought, so that I couldn't bring a kente cloth. But this is worth more than a Bentley, if you have a good sense of knowledge. Yeah. So I'll try to be very simple in this short space of time that I have, because what I want to say is a lot. I'll try to be very, 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 very brief with what I'm about to tell you. And then let's see how I will be able to absorb what I'm saying. Let me bring this here because of me. Let me just use it like this. Okay, fine. I want us to pray. Father, I want to bless you for this day. This is a Holy Spirit moment. For the gathering is unto you. We have gathered because of your name. What is more serious? Your word says that you do not even call the seed of Jacob to worship you in vain. And therefore, there is a benefit for this moment and for this space of time. By your Spirit, deliver that benefit to each and every one of us. The entrance of your word brings light. That is to say, your word should find entrance in somebody here. There's a place in somebody that your word should find space. And that entrance will bring light. It will fight ignorance. And give us understanding over the circumstances of life. We thank you for your word. Your word says, "Lest I fear." As Eve was deceived by Satan, so your minds be corrupted from the simplicity which is in the word. So So we are pleading with the Holy Spirit to bring simplicity. I know some of you are facing complex challenges, but let the simplicity which is in Christ overrule anything which is complex and disturbing your life. We thank you, Holy Spirit. I've said a lot of things to you privately, and I know you do it openly. In Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. Well, I need to acknowledge my brother, my long-standing brother. As a matter of fact, we were in a university together, and through his grace, I became born again. So it is not just that I know your pastor, but he was very instrumental in bringing me from death to life. If you told somebody about Jesus and you secured him in Christ, that is the most important thing that you will do for the person. That's why we need to bring people to Christ. Very, very important. So your pastor is a huge pillar in my life. And I'm very excited about the fact that he's a gifted man, but he sold his entire career to the cause of the gospel. And for that also, he'll be rewarded abundantly. Some people apply their brains to the market, and they make millions. I know in some other department would have made some good money, but when he graduated and he came over to this country, it's all been Christ, Christ, Christ. And I know that God will bless him abundantly for this immense sacrifice to the cause of God. I want us to discuss a very important topic, because most of you are leaders, that you never take for granted. I've titled my message, Give the Word of God Preeminence. Give the Word of God Preeminence. I'll show you where this word preeminence is found. It can be found in Colossians 1. This word preeminence, what does it mean? It is in Colossians 1, and I read from verses 13 to 18. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are now in the love kingdom. Very interesting arrangement. It tells me that the previous kingdom was a kingdom of hatred. So, would you want to tap somebody by the shoulder? How much hatred do you have in you? You need to just look at somebody. How much hatred do you have in you? You see? Into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, which means freedom, through His blood. The blood delivered freedom to us, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, every sin we ever committed has been forgiven, and we enjoy debt cancellation. So if you are here and in the subconsciousness of your mind, you're still thinking about something you did in the past, you don't have to carry that burden. There's debt cancellation. No matter what you did, you will enjoy freedom under Christ. And this came through the blood. Very expensive. What pictures your freedom was expensive. He is the image of the invisible God. Talking about Christ. The firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, including the United Kingdom. That in heaven and that are on earth. And I want to talk about the fact that all things were created by your Lord, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I don't want to go too much into that. I should tell you that everything you see is inferior to Christ, including the palace of your king, including Mayfair, including what you fear, including a pound sterling. I want to say this again. For by Him, the one who is now your Lord, Christ, the one who freely gave you all things and will not withhold anything from you, all things were created in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of Christ, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And this is where the word preeminence shows up for the first time. That in all things, he may have preeminence. Very, very important statement. That this Christ should have preeminence. What does that mean? It means that he should have the first place. When we talk about the word preeminence, that means in all things should be superior and let everything be inferior. It means he should dominate every circumstance of life. That's what preeminence means. It means that Christ is non-negotiable. There's nothing that can make Christ something else. Non-negotiable. It means paramount. And it also means he who should command attention. So when we say the word of God should have, give the word of God preeminence, it means it should be the first thing in your life. It should occupy the first place in your life. It also means it should be superior to any argument that is disturbing your life. And it should dominate you. The word of God should dominate. That means you come under the rulership of the word of God. And it means it is non-negotiable. I want to talk about it, but it will take too long. When you say it's non-negotiable, you cannot say, can we have some exceptions and excuses? Is there a window of excuse concerning this matter? No, it's not negotiable. The word of God, you can't negotiate it. Oh, but I don't know what I'm going through. What you are going through is inferior to the word of God. And it is the superior that rules, not the inferior. So you can't negotiate it. If the word of God says we should pray, that means it's non-negotiable. And I need to move on because of time. It should be paramount. And I want to say this. You should give the word of God attention. I know most of you are outdoors here. If you have been in the realm of romance, you know. If you really want to minister to whoever. So a man is running after a woman or vice versa. Attention can break the pride of the object of love. What does that mean? The one you want to love, if you give that person attention, the person begins to contemplate, what is so special about me that this man is worrying me, you know, that kind of thing. And you pile up attention. Eventually, realize that the what you give attention to, you attract and you come to own. And the opposite is true. What you don't give attention to, you will never attract and it will never come to you. I want to submit this evening that you cannot give anything preeminence unless you place value on it. Very, very important. You cannot give anything preeminence unless you place value on it. Value is what gives preeminence. Some people believe that, oh, this book is some kind of a one-off thing, you know, if you feel like reading it, and you know, they don't want to give this book value. As a matter of fact, our poverty is a direct result of the value we've placed on this book. I'm telling you the truth. Some things are worrying you because you've not read this book enough. It could be some unholy fears. It can be total rubbish. I keep telling my wife all the time that when I come home, don't tell me rubbish. So what does that mean? I said, you have to understand that rubbish is what God has not said, yet you believe. So please spare me rubbish. And there's nothing painful as somebody carrying rubbish. And some of them, they are carrying ancient, heavy rubbish. And it's weighing them down. You can see it even in their faces. Their countenance will change because of what they are carrying. Burdens! Why would you want to, I mean, live your life and you are burdened by what God has not said and yet to believe? This is because sometimes we have not paid any attention to this book. But I saw something in the Bible which tells me that even God himself needed the word of God. I was surprised to see it. So let's read something from John 1. It's so clear, we need to see it, and then we'll see that God needed the oxygen of the word of God. And if God needed the oxygen of the word of God, you need it also. You can't run away from the word of God. Your freedom is in the word of God. Your peace is in the word of God. Your money is in the word of God. I want to read John 1:1-4 quickly, and then we move ahead. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So God existed with something. You see, when they talk about with in this context, they are talking about coexistence. That is, if you separated the word of God from God, God would die. That is why the word of God was with God. So the oxygen of God is the word of God. And it's so clear by what is here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. So I want to submit that if in the beginning the Word was with God, and God was enjoying an atmosphere of the Word, you need the same. In the very beginning, God had the Word environment. God, the Word was with God. That means the Word was associated with God. The Word had a coexistence with God. And this is what should be your lifestyle. You should be somebody who has the Word of God as your environment. So I've stated here, the oxygen environment of God was the Word of God. We know that. And you will see that even the creative force of God was the Word of God. If you read it again, it's so clear. All things were made through him, the Word. And without him, the Word, nothing was made that was made. So the creative power of God is the word of God, and that is Jesus. And that Jesus is this whole material that everybody can read for himself. I want you to bear in mind, it's very, very important that you come to terms with it. So if you look at Genesis 1, God didn't use cement and iron rods and pickaxes to create the world. He used what?
The word.
It's amazing. The word. The word. And God said, that is Genesis 1, 3, and God said, Genesis 1, 6, and God said, Genesis 1, 8, and God said, 11, 14, 20, and 24. And then eventually, God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. God said, God spoke. So, whether we are wise or we are not wise, and we abandon this book, we are denying ourselves of the creative energies of God. So I'll pose this question, what are you reading? That is the question. If you know what you are reading, you put value on it. But if you think that, oh, it's some funny literature and you know, whatever, you know, you want me to use this one? Okay, that's fine. If you want me to use this one, anyone you want me to use? Yeah, this one. Okay, fine. Good, I'll use it. You see? So, that value system we are talking about is what will determine the attention you pay to the word of God. Very, very important. If you knew that looking into this book, you are internalizing the creative energies of God, you read it a lot. So how many people want to be God infused? How many people want to be God carriers? So we have HIV carrier. That means there is some kind of funny things in your body that can kill you. So what are you carrying? It's very important. But what you need to carry is God. And God is not a person like you are seeing me, but God is his word. And that is that power that you should permit into yourself. And this God is so confident, he wrote everything about himself in the book. A few people can do that, you know. Mm. There are some things you cannot write in a book for everybody to read. God has nothing to hide. Just remember that his creative energies are in his word. One of the things which surprised me was that creative force of God that we are refusing to read and internalize. You understand? It's what created the heavens and the earth. And what is shocking, that what the word created continues to have structural integrity. Let's find some support in this scripture. Psalm 119 tells you that some of us, we are in what we call the infrastructure ministry, so we are beginning to talk about structural integrity. Some things don't have structural integrity. Listen to what the Bible says about the structural integrity which came about because of what God said, his word. You see, the Bible says, read Psalm 119, verses 89 to 92. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. That means it's not appealable and it's not reviewable. The house of laws cannot set aside the word of God. After all, even the house of laws, they are on earth. How can they ruin heaven? So it's settled in heaven. It hasn't gotten a skin color. That is why if a white man is very serious about what God is saying, he will make tremendous progress. And so is a black man. Bear that in mind. It's so important. And the Bible said, your faithfulness endures to all generation. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. We know that this world we're talking about, when his word pronounced it into being, we've never called any mechanical engineer to try and see whether the way the sun is, I mean, we have to position it a bit. Look, every good thing you have, if it's material, sometimes it will need rehabilitation, including the houses in Mayfair. But we know that what God did before we were born, whoever came to be, has never come to any arrangement of trying to, repair or renovate renovations. It tells you that anybody who is wise to rely on what God has said has stability. I'm telling you that nothing can unsettle you. In fact, it also means that if what he said is still is, they can trust what he said to deliver you what you don't have. You can rely on what God has said. Because the integrity of what he said, even naturally, still remains. And you need to pay attention to what he said. One of the things I found, and it's very, very interesting, that when you go to any serious country, I was in Tel Aviv, and you go to their streets, every serious street in Tel Aviv, there's an eating place. London, you are west. I'm telling you, all joints, no. Jesus all over. You have what we call the eating culture. And it's good for the body mind. But if you pay attention to the word of God, there is another dimension of eating that we need, especially you leaders. And I want us to look at that level of eating, and if you change your mind about who you think you are in Christ. So let's look at Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3 is very, very interesting about a dimension of the word of God that you should be eating. Deuteronomy 8:3. I want to read. So he humbled you. And that is what it is, you know. I read somewhere in the Bible that God resists the proud. And that scared me. I thought God will resist the devil. So if God should come to London, he's coming to fight the proud. I'm telling you. Those who believe they have some superior stature and therefore they don't respect anything. No, he resists the proud. He said he humbled you. So from time to time, God will humble us. He will let the word of God show you they are very stupid. Several times I felt so stupid reading the Bible. So, oh my God, I've been so foolish. He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Huh. So there was one eating dimension that God gave them to eat. And why did he do this? That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And guess what? Jesus affirmed this in Matthew 4:4. Jesus affirmed this statement in Deuteronomy 8:3. That is to say, all of us seated here, there is another man who does not need doner kebabs or whatever it is. and you've been educated scientifically. Now, food will grow this body mind. It means that you can be spiritually anemic if you don't eat this food. Man shall not live by bread alone. Because we know this body man loves food. So what man was he addressing? The inner man. And the level of feeding the inner man is receiving will determine your spiritual strength automatically. I'm telling you that everybody wants to see the glory of God to change his appetite for the word of God. Amen. I've seen people in Ghana going through experiences of ignorance where you find pastors trying to wash the brain of the ignorant person. Why? Because the people who want to see the glory of God believe that the glory of God is outside them. They have to go and see somebody else. I want to tell you today, if you are a very serious person and want to see changes, develop a humongous appetite for the word of God. Somebody should say, if I'm unable to read 3 chapters of the Bible every day, I won't step out. And it is not tedious. I am oversubscribed. The kind of reading, even when I was coming to Reading, I brought a whole suitcase of files. Well, I need to think and write. But that notwithstanding, I know there's something superior to the Ministry of Works and Housing. And that is what God is saying. And I need to eat it. If you want to build strength, it's not just eating food. If you want to bring, you want to build serious strength, I'm telling you, even prayer strength, it will be a factor of how much of the word of God you are eating. I was telling Reverend that when I was in China recently and I couldn't sleep because of the the time zones. Yeah, no. I had a strong leading. There is a necessity for you to consume the whole of Jeremiah. Oh my God, it was a joy reading Jeremiah in China. Very interesting. So I've developed a huge appetite for the word of God. In fact, if you eat the word of God so much, even sometimes you know when to pray and when not to pray. The two are not the same. Some people pray without eating the word of God. Your journey will be long. But if you eat the word of God, the word of God will tell you when to pray and when not to pray. And how to pray. And about what. Because you know, with the greatest of respect, I mean, saw God, but I will say to you, I'm just using a metaphor, that God is like a woman. I didn't say God is a woman. I say God is like what? A woman. You need to learn the art of dealing with women. You tell them what they want to hear. It's interesting. If you are wise, you will tell the woman. Yeah. But when you grow, when the honeymoon is over, tell them the truth. I'm not saying deceive them. I'm just using a metaphor. They get excited when you tell them what they want to hear. I know that is a fact. So also, when you bring God's word to him, you begin to excite him to perform. It's as simple as that. When you tell him what he has not said, he knows you are stupid. Then why are you praying to me about what I hate? And how can you pray to God without knowing his word? What are you going to tell him? So the beginning point of our faith is here. I read something which, I found very interesting about this eating habit, you know. Let me read it. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23, verse 12. Can you imagine that a man has developed to a point that he treasures the word of God more than his necessary food? Amazing. That is why you saw distinction with Job. They say, oh, he feared God. How could he fear God without knowing him? What you don't know, how would you want to fear it? But then he went into the Word of God. He saw the dimensions of God. He saw his awesomeness and his sovereignty. And then that will induce fear, or what we call reverence, that God is awesome. Today, let me submit to you, until you come to the point of seeing this book as more precious than your necessary food, you've not started as a leader yet. You are very watery. Everything upsets you. Everything makes you afraid. Everything is gloomy. Your life is hopeless. You know why? You don't know what God is saying. If you know what God is saying, you will celebrate Him before it happens. Some of you here are so rich, but because of your eating habits, you don't eat this. The light of wealth is not in your heart. I told my wife, so long as you think that the pound sterling is superior to the blood of Jesus, don't come into your pocket. And people fear that, money. But let's leave it as we go. So I will submit to you again and beg you in the name of God that develop the habit of reading the Word of God. And what you are reading, the Bible is saying that it is the food that matures the spirit in you. That gives it muscle. That gives it shock absorbers. He said, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. That means we can have infirmities, weaknesses. But how can the spirit of man sustain his infirmities if that spirit is anemic? So you need to eat the Word of God. Some of you will be so strong. If you went on this path till December, in which you are consuming the Word of God. Hallelujahs. Amen. By the way, I learned the word hallelujahs when I went to Israel, and we had a guide, you know, and this guide was always teasing my wife with the scriptures. And he was very powerful in, Judaism, Hebrew language. He was so powerful. Professor was the one who was taking us around. So he was driving a Mercedes-Benz when we were there. So he would just ask a question. And then my wife would answer, say, hallelujahs. I said, since my living experience, I've never heard somebody say hallelujahs before. I know hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But this professor would say hallelujahs. So when I came to the hotel, I was thinking about, why was this man saying hallelujahs? And I got the leading that God deserves more than one hallelujah. Hallelujahs. So that is important for you to see. Let me move on. I was also impressed with something about the Word of God. And I want you to look at it carefully. The Word of God is superior to any military weapon you can imagine. This book you've closed and you don't look at it and eat it as often as you should, I'm telling you, there's no military arsenal or weapon stronger than this. And any time, because of my training as a lawyer, what I say, I give it biblical support. So let's see what happened between God and Joshua. Some of you say Joshua, but I didn't attend the school you attended here, so I call it Joshua. So let's see what God says in Joshua. It's very interesting. Very interesting statement here. I'll show you and then I'll move on. Joshua chapter 1, and then I read from 1 to 9 quickly. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So if you were man dependent, that man is gone. And some people are like that. They are man dependent. They are not word dependent. So because he's dead. He never said he'll come back. He wanted to be sure to he's dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, upon I've given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down to the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be courageous. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or hand it over to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Verbalize it. Say it all the time. But you shall meditate in it day and night. That means your night is for meditation also. Sometimes come out of your bed and come and meditate the word. Come and say the word to your inner man. Don't pray. Meditate the word. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I thought if you said a man should go and take a territory, he will need an army. You also need what we call armor tanks, you know, and the instruments of warfare. Do you know what God gave him to go and take the land of Canaan? This book. Every soldier knows that you can't use your mouth to fight an enemy. They believe in AK-47. But God has given us a superior weapon. And you don't place any value on it. Because the military Joshua was not given a military arsenal. He was given this book of the law. The law of God in your mouth is superior to any weapon you see outside. The word of God, which is inside you, that you vocalize, is stronger than anything outside you. So please go there. For God sees what you are refusing to, engage as a weapon, a military weapon. I also found out that how can a man transform without eating this book? This area is so important. I need about 6 weeks to talk about it. Transformation. We all need it. I'm telling you, we need to transform. When you transform, you will not be afraid of the pound sterling. You will never say in your spirit that I'm condemned to live in this area of London. We are the people who live in council flats, and there's no way we'll be able to change our status and all that, you know. We can never eat in good restaurants, all kinds of condemnations. Do you know why you would think like that? Because you have not changed in form. When you change in form, the things you fear, they become nothing. You destroy the poverty empire in your heart first, then riches will come. Let me tell you something which is very important. What you fear run away from you. I believe in what I'm saying so strong. Because sometimes when I want to provoke God, I provoke God with money. Especially when I don't have enough money on me. I do that all the time. I am afraid to give God $1,000. How can I buy a Bentley? Through what mechanism? Now God is not worth $1,000. So we should look at it. So this transformation is so important, but I need to move on. I'm bringing my thing to a close because I am very, very, loaded here, but I need to stop so that we have a conversation and then we bring the proceedings to a close. If you don't have your Bible, you can listen to me now. If you don't have your Bible, say, let me look at 2 Corinthians. Very interesting thing about transformation. I love that scripture. 2 Corinthians 17, and the verse 18. Let's hear the word of God. Now, the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. One translation which I love so much says that, wherever the spirit is made Lord, there is liberty. So this church, if you want to see liberty, then make the Holy Spirit Lord. You pay regard to the Holy Spirit. The kind of song ministrations to him, so serious. Wherever the spirit is made Lord, there is liberty. But we all, whether you were training Harvard or you were Peter the fisherman, said, we all, no qualification, with unveiled face, coming to God just as we are, no false pretenses. You know this veiled face, it doesn't show you the one there. You can say a masquerader. You took the masquerading thing out of the life. The hypocrisy. The false pretenses. When what we are doing in secret does not reflect what we do in this church, he said, we should come to him with an unveiled face. Father, you know I'm struggling with this situation. Come to the word of God like that. I know you are the only one who can affect him. You changed my life. An unveiled face. Come to him like that. Don't come to God with false pretense. He knows you are struggling. I love this word. Beholding. Powerful statement. It's a continuous practice. Beholding. Don't read the Bible Tuesday and close it for the rest of the week. Beholding. You don't stop. Beholding. As in a mirror. It will always reflect the truth of God. The glory of the Lord. You know, the more you close this book, the more you become a candidate of shame. Because it said, when we behold, we can only behold what? The glory of the Lord. The opposite is true. If you hate God's glory, you are just going for the devil's shame. It will change. How many want to be glory children of God? I want to be one. But they've shown me the way. But if I'm so disobedient, that, oh, what kind of time do I have to have? If the Sun newspaper is there, I want to look at what is going on, the front page, who is there, and then begin to internalize a lot of filth and read what I, oh boy. You won't change. The glory of the Lord, I've been transformed. I love that. You'll be transformed into the same image. So that image is what the Bible refers. So if the Bible says that you are rich, as you keep beholding what God is saying, you walk into riches. It won't stop. Because you see, if you don't overhaul what is in your spirit, you can't have physical changes. It starts from the spirit first. You see, and what is all this whole business about the spirit? I'll tell you simply. The business about the spirit is simple, that just respect what God is saying. There's not any angel flying, you know, anywhere or whatever, you know, and people believe spiritual things are some kind of something in the atmosphere. No. Yes, respect what God is saying. He said, this book of the Lord shall not depart of your out of your mouth. So no, I won't meditate the word. You shut your mouth and want to be rich. How can you be rich if you shut your mouth? Your death and life is the power of the tongue. I remember when I wanted to have my power as a lawyer. I remember clearly, young man, petite. But I had a strong heart. Nobody is the word of God. And it's a spiritual dwarf. Mm-hmm. I'm telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I'm telling the truth. If you like, try it. People begin to wonder, look at what this guy is saying. They can't accept it. Because consistently, when I got born again, I took this scripture, Philippians 4:13, as amplified. And Philippians 4:13 says, I have strength, not weakness, for all things through Christ who empowers me, and I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him, Christ, who infuses inner strength into me, and I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I used to say this 40 times. Sometimes I used to say, for the avoidance of doubt, I go and take the mirror. I Samuel, attaching, I have strength for all things through Christ who empowers me. And I, Samuel attaching, I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him, Christ. Not my tribe, not my culture, not my... Who infuses inner strength into me? And I'm self-sufficient in Christ. I used to say this. One day I said it and I became electrified. Oh, try it and see. You try it. Confess the word, and I became so electrified. Then I appear before three judges. Cool. If you are not careful, and Ghanaian judges intimidating, you know. Look. Then the scripture came. You have strength to take command of this moment. So this is an hour. All that you said it to be shown. That day I don't know what came over me. The faithfulness of God appeared. And guess what? The lady in the middle, that is the presiding judge, was my wife's sister. Yes. But that time I don't married my wife, you know. So I was standing there. And I said, yes. Counsel, are you here to argue yourself, or you want to, adjourn the case for your senior to come? My senior is the president now. Akufo-Addo. So, Madam President, I've come to argue myself. Are you sure? Yes. Now move the motion. Oh boy. What you do in private with all faithfulness and trust in the word of God will manifest openly. I argued, they call upon a far senior lawyer to argue. I said, please, we don't want you to speak for long. He raised this concern. Just address it and we take a decision. When the judges speak like that, there's a technical knockout. Application upheld. And then when later on, I was courting my wife and my wife took me to the lady's house, you know, that I called him up to judge. I said, oh no, ma, this man there, you should marry him. I have strength for all things. Is there anybody here who is toying with weakness? We all toying with weaknesses and holy fears. Certain things are disturbing our peace. If you want to drive your fears, read this book. And be persuaded by this book. Because when you try to get deep into this book, there will be outside interferences. All the time. It happened to Jesus. Jesus had a banter with the devil. And the devil quoted scriptures. You remember that storyline? Jesus said, it is written. So everything in hell will want to come and undermine what is written. You won't live long. Even after you fasted. And holy voice. You need to shout the voice. It is written with long life. Will they satisfy me? Show me salvation. You should bear that in mind. Very, very, very important. We will change into form if we look into the mirror. Whatever is coming from your background is not in the mirror. Do not be fixated by your background and say, as for us, we cannot amount to anything. He didn't talk about anything. He said, and we all behold him. Nobody exempted. Don't come and glorify your background. Say, no, you know, we blacks, we can't amount to anything. It is the philosophy from the pit of darkness. If we take away the veil and we continually behold what is written, we will change. And that change will be from one degree of glory to another. Because this is the workings of the Holy Spirit. It's up to you. It's not up to me. If you don't want to transform, close the Bible. Let me go on. I read from the Bible that it is the container of our inheritance. And let me go there quickly because my time is up. It is what? The Bible is what? The container of your inheritance. By the way, your inheritance is what you didn't work for, but has been given to you free of charge. Yeah, some people will, I'm serious. I remember somebody in Ghana, for his funeral in the will, he wrote, $1 million. So do not take funeral donations in Ghana. That is a miracle. Because in Ghana, people do funerals because they expect donations. In fact, if you didn't give them a donation, you become an enemy. But this man, he did a will, and he said, for my send-off and all that it will cost, here's $1 million. And then the rest of the children were given inheritance. What you did not work for, but has been given to you free of charge. And I want to be very quick. If you pay regard to the context of this, Paul was announcing that he was going to die. And he was telling the people who will live after him his will, what is leaving them. So interesting to know. But when people are about to go, in law they call the testator, and they leave a will, and they go and do the probate, they see that, oh boy, take this, take that, take this. The man has suffered. And he gives it to you by the stroke of the pen. So what was Paul leaving behind? Listen to this, what he said. That is in Acts 20, 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God. And God has a twin. And to the word of his grace. Because that and is a conjunction. They are together. You can't separate God from his word. I commend you to God. The Amplified Bible says, I deposit you in his charge. As if God is a bank. When your money is there, safe. So you, as if this your father is a bank, you are in a safe deposit. That should be what is going through your mind. And not you still living in the UK and believing that somebody has powers of witchcraft too. Those things are interesting. I deposit you in this charge and to the word of his grace. That is the word of unmerited favor, which is able to build you up. So therefore, if there is any candidate of weakness under the sound of my voice, the prescription is simple. Nobody fights a doctor and his prescription and live. Please, in the natural, we respect doctors. When you go to a doctor and you are diagnosed, and I've never seen any book that does excellent diagnosis more than this book. Every weakness is captured here. Are you going through challenges? This book will diagnose it. But if you are humble, then you take the prescription. You might be a professor of quantum dynamics or aerodynamics. If you met a physician and said, look, you are putting on too much weight, cut down on this, and this is a prescription. And you say, oh, I will do the opposite of what the doctor is saying. You will die by installments, that's all. Nothing will happen, you are going to die. So if we respect the prescriptions of doctors, why wouldn't we accept what God is saying, the creator of the world. Speaking through Paul said, it will build you up. So if a man is weak, you should read the Bible. And give you an inheritance. There is something that you and I deserve in God. It's called the inheritance. We didn't work for, but God has given to us freely. That thing you need is the word delivered. It's the word of God that will give you an inheritance. You see, among all those who are sanctified, your inheritance is in the word. What you've not worked for, but you deserve. I remember I told myself when I became the minister for finance, I'll tell you this free of charge. I knelt down. First of all, I changed the seat of the previous minister. And I bought my own civil chair. So I knelt down. And I prayed. I said, Father, anything that
is not coming from you that will put me into trouble. No matter how you say it, you shouldn't come to this office. And I got a revelation that the distance between where you are, that was my office, and in Ghana there's a place called Nsawam Prisons, where if they convict you, go and say, it's your signature. I got the leading like that. Atta, the distance between where you are and Nsawam Prisons is your signature. Because I saw something which is very interesting. And listen to this. The Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. That means some riches are not from God. And some riches too are not true riches. And when he wants to bless you, it's a blessing from the Lord. Say, do not let me think it's because of this presidency that I'll be fine. Because you know how our minds are, twisted by the devil. The devil wants you to see the human government rather than the heavenly government. God, the human government is transient. It will pass. It has an expiry date. The blessing of the Lord. So I sat down praying in the presence. Father, give me a deal that Kufuor can never give me. Because you are God. I don't serve an earthly government. I serve a heavenly government. The blessing he brings, it makes truly rich. And he has no sorrow to it. There is a humanness about us when we become born again. I want to address that. I'm about to end. The humanness. When you want to import your human tendencies into the Bible, you will never be blessed. God wants us to operate on a divine nature. It is only by divine nature that you kill what you love. That your body is craving for something you love. But when the divine nature is alive, it will crucify that thing you say you love. You know why some people can't give good offerings in churches? Because they are operating by their human nature. How can I struggle like this and work so hard and give an offering? Oh boy. The human nature. And when you are functioning at the level of your human nature, you've not understood Christ yet, and the blessings of Christ will be far away from you. So how do we deal with our human nature? The Bible has spoken about it. The Bible is self-diagnosing and self-prescriptive. It has twin powers. The Bible diagnoses it and will give you also the prescription. I don't know what other book you want to read and be free. I enjoy this book, seriously speaking. Let's listen to what God is saying in 2 Peter 1:4. Let me read from 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Your grace and peace can never be multiplied in ignorance. I'm telling you. So your knowledge of God will multiply your grace and peace. And of our Lord Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, the word of God, who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm saying that the word of God injects us with the divine nature to begin to function like Christ. Nobody can function like Christ unless he's internalized what God is saying. It's very important. And then when what God is saying is dominating you, you begin to function in your divine nature. Very important. Now, we're talking about the fact that the word of God is the cleansing power of God. And I want to look at it. It cleanses us from every contamination and filth. You may find this in Psalm 119.
Psalm 119 and I think verse 9, How can a man, why can a young man cleanse his way? And if you are gender sensitive, you can say a young woman cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word. I remember I read in the Bible about how they said Joseph was a good looking man. And there was a beautiful woman, the master's wife also, and the woman wanted an affair. And what Joseph said was so frightening. He said, how can I sin against God? It's amazing he said that, you know. If the word has not cleansed you, even run after the woman without she asking you to come. But when the word has cleansed you, you know, I'm telling you the truth. You see, when you are cleansed by the word, you develop an allergy. A thing. You know it's serious. This one. Oh my God, I can't do this. But if you do not have the word in you, oh my God. Sometimes you do it. And the whole day, the condemnation and the weight of what you are doing is on you. Pastor will never say it. I know you've come under serious condemnation. So the word of God is a cleanser. Jesus says something in John 15:3, talking about the word of God being a cleanser. I want to open there quickly. The word of God is a cleanser. It cleanses you from all kind of contamination, and then also you develop allergies. Sometimes you can't do it. That is John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The word of God is the foundation of wisdom. That is why you can get a fisherman writing, a book, the foundation of wisdom. Let's look at it. Psalm 119. It doesn't matter that I didn't go to Harvard. Trust me. It is better to know God of the Bible than to know the American institution called Harvard. Because it could generate some foolishness in you. This Harvard thing. Without redemption. Trust me, I'm telling you some serious things. I'm telling you. That secular thing and certificates people wield and take their knowledge of. No. What will bring you sanity is this book. And I say it without apology. And balance. To understand the word properly. It's like that. So, don't say, I have a deficit of secular education. It doesn't matter. But the most serious deficit is a deficit of the word of God. It's free of charge. You don't have to hustle to come to terms with it. Let's hear what the Bible says. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever before me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. One of the ways that I test issues, that when we are even having a good, say legal argument or academic argument, I begin to see is the foundation in this book. It's easy to identify a foolish man. How? Through the mirror of this book. You will see. Very important. So if anybody is here and is a leader and wants serious wisdom, they should develop a big, in Ghana, we there's a word that we use. It's your English language, but we use it for political purposes. You have to develop a gargantuan appetite for the word of God. You know what is gargantuan? It's like an elephant. You eat the word of God. I tell my wife all the time that if you want to be my friend, they tell me what God is saying. So all this while you are not friends. I said, well, I can't stand too much of emotions now.
Let me tell you something free of charge. Do not worship emotions if you're a woman. And no woman should glorify the fact that women are emotional. It's not true. The women have not programmed themselves with the word of God. For them to even wipe our tears. No, Reverend, you don't have to cry about this matter. You should be able to do that. I told my wife, if you tell me what I've not heard before, I'll give you some money. Oh, I want to leave the mundane. I want to leave the emotional nonsense. I want to you to tell me what God is saying. And I said, joy to hear what God is saying. So important. So important. The Bible said, even Jesus is the wisdom of God and is the power of God. We can look at it from 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24. The last but one thing I want to say, the word of God is God's instrument of your liberty and freedom. This is very interesting. The word of God is God's instrument of liberty and freedom. And people don't know that. Nothing will set you free more than what God is saying. He went to Abraham and he told him something outrageous. A man of full age and spent with a barren wife. He said, behold, I've made you the father of many nations. Amazing statement. He said, I am your shield. When you go to Genesis 12, 1 and 2, he said something which is very interesting. He said, I am your shield, which means you are unkillable. Are you still entertaining some thoughts that somebody can practice witchcraft and kill you before your time? Do you still believe it? That somebody can do it? When the chief watchman over your life is God Almighty. Did you hear that? He said, would you do this low-cost job for this Abraham? He said, I am your shield. That means I'm the chief watchman. And I am your exceeding great reward and abundant compensation. If I were in a political platform, I would say it will be Fala. You say that? I am. Your shield. Small boy like me? Yes. Again, I am. Your exceeding great reward. Do you believe that? And above all, I am your abundant compensation. That means anything that has robbed you, I have the capability to compensate you. If you say you don't want to accept this truth, I'm telling you, the ancient poverty will disturb you for a long time. That's what it said. So we should bear that. If you want liberty, go there. So let me just go about this liberty. He said, the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he said that. So that's what you should bear in mind. And I love this statement. The perfect law of what? Liberty. Anything outside book is imperfect. It could corrupt your mind. But if you want to enjoy the perfect law of liberty, then it's a mirror. You need to go there. When you make time, look at this. James 1, 22 to 25. It talks about it. Let me move on. But one of the things I found very interesting that, there is this centurion who saw that the word of God can deliver liberty. You can look at it in Matthew 8. He said, Lord, and I believe that is when the miracle started. If this book is not your Lord, don't expect any benefit from it. If you believe in your heart that this book is inferior to some other things and arrangements, this book will never give you any benefit. So this centurion went immediately, he said, Lord. In fact, when he said Lord, he was making reference to Jesus, but actually was saying that word of God. Because Jesus was saying, Lord, that settled everything. So if you know him as Lord, it will be demonstrated in the way you speak. Do you know who the Lord is? The one in charge. He said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Oh, I love this man. Why? Because he understands the creative command of the word of God. I'm not worthy that you come. It's not necessary. It's not your body that I need. Some people want the body Jesus to come again. He's not coming now. You should go for the word Jesus. And that's what the centurion preferred. He said, don't come to under my roof. It's not necessary. Just speak the word there. My servant shall be healed. That is to say that the word as it is now is superior to the absent Jesus physically. People don't know that. They believe, what do you want to see again? The word of God. The word of God. He said that. Speak the word and my servant shall be healed. I think I've come to the end of what I wanted to say. I'll say one more thing about what I'm seeing, and it's very beautiful for me. The Bible says something about God, and I want to, that's what I end with this. The Bible says, now, this God, unto him, this God, that means he's our attention. Now unto him, this God, who is able. I love this statement. He is able. Some people are never able, but he is able. And the Bible says he is able to do. Oh, I love that. Some people are able, but they won't do it. You enter somebody's house, he's cooking good jollof rice, you are very hungry. And jollof has ability to take away the hunger. But oh, man, he won't give it to you. Some people are like that. They are able, but they won't do it. But the God we serve, the word of God, he has the twin powers. He is able to do. That is why we should go to the word. Because it has ability and performance. He's able to do. He's able to do what? Exceedingly. And he's able to do abundantly beyond your personal circumstances. I'm telling you. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that the British people think or even ask. He's able to do it. Can you trust him to do it? Can you use this book to overhaul your thinking? That we don't worship the pound sterling, but rather God, who is stronger than the pound sterling. And are you going to pay attention?